Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Time to head out to the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to Bob Ryan, sports columnist emeritus for the Boston Globe. Bob, thanks for the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem.
So you tweeted last night that it's hard to root against either the Thunder or Pacers. They're both lovable teams without any certified villains. I'm personally rooting for the Thunder because we've been sold a bill of goods here in D.C. that the Wizards are following this Thunder blueprint. So I see off into the distance maybe
because
the Wizards.
Will Dawkins.
Yeah, because Will Dawkins has ties, obviously, to OKC. He's here now. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that the Wizards can become some sort of version of the Thunder in the future. Am I a crazy person, Bob, for thinking that?
I think so.
Well, you know, the damn Yankees, you got to have hope. Miles and miles and miles of hope. So good luck to you all. I have to be very honest. I am not, I'm, as we speak, I'm trying to conjure up any kind of vision of rosters or anything of the Wizards. They have become such an anonymous team.
Yeah.
Going on 40 years of mediocrity.
Yeah.
Plus 40 plus years that I'm not qualified to answer that question. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
That's a good blueprint to follow. But yeah. I see blueprints. Blueprints come down to human beings, come down to players, talent, personnel. Are they talking about matching up styles of play? Are they talking about matching up roster age composition? Are they talking? What are they talking
building
about?
Building through the draft,
know.
Essentially.
Acquiring a bunch of draft picks.
Bob, yeah. You're old school, so I'm guessing that you're maybe more with me, but maybe not. That
okay,
there's a
okay.
school of thought that you can only get to that elite level by getting to the bottom first. And I just hate that notion, and I disagree with it completely.
No, I don't believe in any absolutes of that nature. I don't believe in that. I don't believe you need X amount. It used to be, you know, people were, got it in their heads that you need 2 All-Stars to contend. No, you need 3. You know, now we got a team, you know, in the finals, the Pacers, that people are saying, really, they don't have any great stars. Well, they got some excellent players, but maybe they don't have marquee stars. Halliburton obviously is not quite there yet. He's erratic. Now he's hurt, so they have to understand that. Siakam is a really nice player, but is he slated for the Hall of Fame? I don't know. I don't think so right now. But he, you know, maybe he could construct a resume in time. No, anyway, there's no absolutes. I'm sorry, I don't buy it at all. Things happen. You get lucky. You got to be lucky too. You know, you got to be lucky that what you talk about draft picks. Some draft years are better than others.
Of course.
And that's that. I mean, Purvis Ellison was a number one pick. Michael Olowokandi was a number one pick of number one.
Yep.
Say no more.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
The Thunder, you know, when they had Durant and all that, and Westbrook and those guys, when they went to the finals, they only went through a couple of really bad years. So I'm just kind of looking at their records. In 2021, they had 22 wins, and the year after that, they had 24. All right, but then they skyrocketed to 40 wins the next year, and then 57, and then obviously this year 68.
There's no skyrocketing here.
No.
They
didn't have to go through what the Wizards are going through.
The Celtics in 2006 and 7 had a 19-game losing streak. Mm-hmm. Okay, they were abysmal. They were terrible. They were just another stop on the NBA trail. The history was irrelevant to blah blah blah. Well, on draft day in 2007. Danny Ainge trades his number 5 pick to the Sonics for Ray Allen. Because Ray Allen is now joining up with the Celtics, Kevin Garnett is now amenable to a trade. He would not have won. He would not have come to the Boston Celtics if the Celtics hadn't picked up Allen. Now they've got Allen, Pierce, and Garnett, and guess who won the championship in that year? So that if you can do something like that, good luck to you. But that's not, I wouldn't call that a blueprint. That's just lucky stuff.
Right, totally.
But do you like this particular NBA Finals this year?
I love it. I love the whole playoffs. Since day one, there have been so many entertaining games from all the matchups. Yeah. I think it's been one of the great playoffs of pure.
Wow.
Just sit back and enjoy. If you don't have a specific rooting interest at any particular time in any particular series, we've had a number of outstanding games. And, of course, the history made by the Pacers with the comebacks and Halliburton making history with four game winning shots of the nature and all that stuff. We've had all kinds of great stuff. Yes, I'm very much
How can you
it.
Reconcile, Bob? Because I've kind of written off the league the way it's changed so much and 53s per team. It's just a race to the three-point line, dribble around, halt, throw up a three, get the rebound, throw up another three, get another rebound, throw up another three. Like, how do you reconcile that? I mean, I know that this finals allegedly has been different. They're playing better defense maybe being a little bit more selective. But how do you reconcile just sort of the style of play and say this is such a great playoffs?
There are few more vocal critics of the three-point shot than I. I am documented going back at 20 more years, okay? Yeah. I think it's the worst thing to happen to basketball in my lifetime. Yeah. It has distorted the game at every level.
Right.
I do not enjoy the game in general as much as I once did.
Right.
However, this is the antidote we're watching. They won a game with three-point shots the other night, okay?
Yeah.
They're not playing that game. They're playing real basketball. Now, we still don't have pivot play. I mean, count on your hand the number of times you have seen a 7-foot guy put his back to the basket, raise his hand, get an entry pass, and then take a 6-foot jump hook, as a post play. You haven't seen much of that, but they still are having a balance. All I want is balance, guys. I want some inside, some outside. Use the three as a useful adjunct, not as the raison d'etre. It's become the raison d'etre. I call it the Daryl Moorification of basketball. And the insidious comment or phrase that the worst shot in basketball is the long two. You know, that's all Daryl Morey stuff. And everybody subscribes to it, you know. It's like in baseball, you know, the pitchers, the managers now manage the same way. And the guy strikes out the side and then in the eighth inning, he can't pitch the ninth. Anyway, basketball has its own problem with the three. We're not having that right now, though, this group. Thank God they're giving us something better.
All right, so you're a big fan. All right, gotcha.
Well, I love what they're doing. Now, I know when the season starts next year, we'll go back, and the generic NBA game will include 40 to 50 threes attempted by a team. The Celtics had 60, which was reprehensible.
Right.
But right now we have something different. And if you're hurting your own self, if you claim to like basketball and you're not watching this, you're doing yourself a disservice.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay. All right. I got to talk some baseball with you, okay?
Oh, I don't wonder why.
Now, look, I grew up a huge Red Sox fan, Bob. I'm not as big a fan now as I was when I was, in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. I went to the 2004 Game 1 World Series. It was like 28 degrees. I had to buy a jacket out on the street. It was so cold. But I still kind of root for them. I mean, I also kind of root for the Nats because we have a connection with them now. But I still kind of follow the Red Sox. Anyway, so Devers is clearly their best hitter. They gave him a huge contract 2 years ago, $318 million. All right. But they also realize that he's a hack defensively. So they go out and get a better defensive third baseman. And I don't know what their discussions were. Sam Kennedy, the CEO, and Breslow, the GM. I don't know what their discussions were in the offseason with Devers about that. But he clearly did not want to move off of third base. But they were saying, you're going to play, you're going to DH or you're going to play first base. On the surface, it looks like he's not being a team player. But it also looks like, well, what the hell were you doing, Breslow and Kennedy, not sorting this out before you went out and got Bregman? So, and after you gave him a huge deal. So who's at fault?
I like that. I see, that's my feeling, is that they should know after all this time who they're dealing with. And anyone could have predicted his intransigence, that he would not would be happy. He views himself as a third baseman, even though he's way subpar defensively. But they had to know that. And so when they bring in Bregman, and I don't know what discussions they had, but obviously they should have anticipated trouble in that regard. That's absolutely for sure. Because the guy is who he is. And by the way, but in terms of asking him to play first, there's no guarantee he would have been very good at first. People right, think probably it's not. That easy to play. That people think it's that easy to play first.
Yeah.
I'm an old Little League first baseman. I was taught how to play first base when I was 10 years old. Footwork and everything else. And there's a lot involved and with that position that people don't realize. And there's no guarantee that that guy, fighting it as he would have, you know, would have turned out to be any good at
first. Well, true.
Anyway.
But, Bob, when Casas got hurt, you got to be a team player and say, all right, Casas is out for the year. I've got to go play first to help the team.
Of course you do, and that he should have, and that's but that's who he is. The people have to, the Giants have to understand it. And now, did you guys see, maybe I hallucinated, but I thought I saw something on X yesterday where he is already saying, oh, I'll play first, I'll do anything you want, I want to just help the team win. Did he really say that? If he really did say that, then we know that there was it's a deeper issue with the Red Sox and him and in a personality clash or whatever than we knew. If he really said that you know, that's not what we want to hear. Here, you know that.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear that. Why couldn't you say that for us?
Right.
So this is complicated. It really is. And by the way, Sam Kennedy, just be honest. Don't tell us that you think it's going to help us help you, the Red Sox this year. This subtracts from their. They're not going to be a better team because they got rid of him. You know, they might find a way. The kids might be that good. Anthony and Meyer and Campbell and all that. They might be that good. And Abreu's coming back soon. And he'll. But don't tell us that they're going to be better or that this enhanced your chances of making the playoffs.
Right, you got rid of a headache. Because, that's what you did. That's what they got.
And really, what a day of juxtapositions. They come off the high. They beat the Yankees. They sweep them. You know, it's 4:00. It's a wonderful Sunday afternoon. Everybody's happy here. They just and then the news comes within the hour, and talk about deflation.
Oh, you know,
and
I bet.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And it's too bad he is who he is. We know what an excellent hitter he is, but it's too bad. This is the package, I got to say they mishandled this.
Bob, sticking with baseball though, let's touch on the Nats. They won a World Series. 2019. Since then, you had the COVID and some weird stuff, and they started unloading guys. And now, before you know it, you blink and you're like 5 years losing. Now they're, even though just 2 weeks ago they were like 30-33, they had, been on a little streak, looked like they're making some progress. Now they're in the middle of what, a 9-10 game losing streak? Lose to the Rockies last night. The natives are restless. They're not used to this. They're calling for Rizzo, and they're really calling for Davey. What do you do when your manager wins a World Series, but here we are, 5 years later? I mean, sometimes you have to make a change just for the sake of making a change, even though the guy may not be doing anything wrong.
Oh, don't we all know in all four major sports, and I guess we can throw in five with the MLS and World Soccer, but certainly in America, it's no shock when the manager of the year or the World Series winner is fired within 2 years. They all know, and it's a truthful statement. You're hired to be fired. They all know it. Every manager and coach in American sports knows it. They're not all. There's only one exception out there, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Three coaches in 50 plus years. That there's nobody even remotely close to that. But other than that. I can understand the people calling for his head, and of course, it was always a tenuous thing. Anyway, he had to prove himself over and over, right? And I might be the solution. The old, you can't fire 25 guys, but you can fire the manager. But yeah, it's dire times. There's no question. I wouldn't want to be a Nats fan right now.
Yeah, it's not great. Hopefully, they can get off the schneid today. Against the Rockies.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing.
Well, that's the feel-good, Dr. Feel-good for everybody now to play the Rockies for a series. So.
Right. Well, they blow a one-run lead in the ninth last night and allowed three runs. So anything can happen. Everything's going wrong for the Nets right now.
Oh, man.
We won't be surprised if they lose 3 out of 4.
Well, that would be that might be the old nail in the coffin.
Nail in the coffin. 3 out of 4
to the Rockies.
We're joined by Bob Ryan from the Boston Globe. Let me get your temperature on the Patriots in the last 3 years, 8-4-4 wins. I'm not going to cry a river for you and all the Patriots fans in your six Super Bowls, but Mike Vrabel comes in. They add Stephon Diggs. He's already, making waves, so to speak, before the season even starts with the boat video. How do you see things working out for the Pats in 2025?
Yeah, well, that's a very interesting issue because they have a lot of positive things that people are citing, such as Drake May. It looks like he's going. They all signs are that he is going to be pretty good. They are beefing up their defense now, and the defense looks on paper pretty good. They're getting Barmore back after these blood clots. They signed Williams. The offensive line definitely needed help. They hope that the first round pick is going to help them. Despite the short arms nonsense.
Right.
No, they look, but wide receiver has been an issue. They have been absolutely notoriously unable to draft a wide receiver. The best wide receivers they've ever were converted, you know, were guys like Troy Brown and Edelman, who was a college quarterback. But anyway, Diggs, bringing in a guy with loads of baggage, and now he's got baggage. But on paper, talent-wise, it's a major upgrade. If he can, stay out of the rest of the paper, if he can only stick to being in the sports page, then that's going to be the good story this year, and not be on any other pages in the paper. So that's the big goal. They're going to be better. I think that I'm going to go the over/under is 8. And there'll be a rise to the level of mediocrity out of being just lousy. Mm-hmm. But people here got spoiled. There's no predictably, naturally. But the last few years have been, Belichick's his last year wasn't good. Obviously, Mayo was a colossal mistake. But they've improved the coaching staff. They got McDaniels. They got and Vrabel has got everybody pumped up. The players are pumped up. Everybody is. The fans are. And so we have they're looking forward to this series. There's a lot of curiosity and hopes that they're going to at least be respectable. That's the goal for me anyway. Be respectable, and then we'll worry about it from there.
Bob, you're a legend. We always appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
See you, Bob Ryan.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye now.
Yep,
now.
That's Bob Ryan, sports columnist emeritus for the Boston Globe. Coming up in just about an hour, Chelsea James from the Washington Post. She'll join us to talk Nats baseball and more.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I need some help from the golf nerds here, and there's no shortage of them. What's going on between J.J. Spahn and his wife, J.J. Spahn, who just won the U.S. Open?
Nothing.
Apparently there's drama about like him not acknowledging her after he won the U.S. Open.
People are so dumb.
I mean, what's happening? Is there anything? Is this a nothing burger?
He kissed her after he came off the green.
And then she handed him one of the kids.
Yeah, Victor Hovland was putting out the finish.
Yeah.
And he showed respect to Hovland. And it was a little jarring to some people because they're so used to seeing the little kids run up to the dad. A dad showed all this emotion, hug the kids like crazy, hug the mom. But he had so much poise in the moment to say, hold on, we got to wait a second. Let him finish because, it's a big, big commotion.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really, really respectful move by Spahn that some people misinterpreted as some sort of weird friction between he and his wife.
Yeah.
And as soon as Hovland sank the putt, then he leaned over and kissed his wife on the lips. He picked up the kids more and then he had the kids with him, when he's signing his card, he's taking pictures, he's holding the trophy with them. The wife is thrilled.
Any father who has two young kids like that is going to pay more attention to them at that particular moment than their wife. They just are.
Yeah, the kids are going to take
precedence. Because he's got to hold one as they're walking up the stairs, and he's holding his older daughter. His wife is holding the younger daughter. I mean, what does social media want him to do?
I think they think they were a little put off by in the moment he was telling them to hold off. That's my interpretation.
I don't know. There are a lot of articles written about it. It wasn't just social media, and obviously a lot of people are talking about it. It was just kind of awkward. Because usually it's much more, I don't know how else to say it, like loving than that. And if they are going through something, like, all right, that's not the end of the world either. But everyone was pointing out the fact that JJ went to the store at 3 a.m. Like, yeah. Why is he doing that the night before the biggest round of his life?
It's a good question.
Why is the big silly going to the store?
He's a good dad.
Maybe he is.
He's a good dad.
Maybe
he's
in the doghouse.
I'm sorry. That's one where your wife has to say, you've got a huge day tomorrow.
You stay with the kids.
I'll handle this. I'll go out and get
if that happened to me,
I'll go get the Pepto-Bismol.
I would have gone out to
get it. I didn't hear the nugget about that, so tell me that nugget.
Apparently, one of his daughters got sick overnight the night before the final round, so he went out to get medicine at the
wall. 3 a.m. He's a good dude.
He's just a good dude.
I mean, he wasn't teeing off until freaking 2:30.
Not every wife is going to take that bullet.
Your wife's got to have your back there. When you have the biggest professional day of your life.
Maybe she offered and he said, I got it. I'll take care of it.
Well, then, if that's the case, he is the nicest guy on the planet.
He might be.
And kind of dumb because he's got the U.S. Open hanging.
Maybe
in the
he just couldn't sleep anyway. He's got too much on his mind.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's it. You know who can always sleep at 3 a.m.? Me. 3 a.m.?
Not me.
I was up at 3 a.m. this morning, and I slept good last night.
I was up at 3:30.
Really?
I was awake.
You've been awake since 3:30?
Yes.
I was awake. Well, I went back to sleep.
If my body, if I lean over and the clock says 2:45, I know I'm kind of up. I can't fall back asleep.
You don't want to sneak in another 45 minutes for an hour?
I just can't do it.
I do.
I do.
What about the fact that he acknowledged his kids during the ceremony and like said how like thanked his kids, but didn't thank his wife?
I don't know.
I mean, just forgot maybe.
I'm willing to bet that there's nothing there.
Probably had a lot on his mind.
Yeah. It happens. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt.
It was just kind of, because here's the thing, and I was telling Valdez this yesterday. I heard someone making the argument that U.S. Open and Father's Day is the best holiday sports connection there is. Better than the NFL on Thanksgiving.
Pretty darn good.
Better than the NBA on Christmas. People sleep on how special the Father's Day portion of it is. And you are just kind of, every single year, they make a huge deal of the family waiting for him on the 18th green. And it was just it was a little awkward. It wasn't like the big loving
He was being respectful.
You wanted a bigger scene.
You wanted the tears. You wanted the big kiss with the wife. And you didn't really get all that.
He had that with his caddy.
He started to cry with his caddy.
Yeah.
He definitely was crying.
I know. He wanted it with the family.
By the way, I think his coaches were hammered.
They look like.
Oh, really?
Right? That video that was going viral.
The short game coach,
the guy they kept showing in the navy blue polo.
Oh, yeah, with the younger, maybe that was his kid. Yeah.
There's a video that went viral. Those two guys, they were hammered.
Yeah.
They were saying, listen, I love you, bro.
Because of you.
Love you because of you. You did it.
Yeah.
Dude, they just won a major.
Good.
I give him a pass.
I think the major was still going on.
Give him a pass.
It just ended.
No. It had just ended.
Yeah,
but they were hammered.
You saw how EB was when his buddy had a hole in one.
I know, my buddy had a hole in one, and literally I thought I had the big one.
Rain delay. They got caught up in the rain
delay.
They were
throwing back drinks during the rain delay.
Just think, all of the nervousness is starting to set in. Now you have this big delay.
By the way, at the delay, it looked like he was close within a few shots, but nobody thought he was going to be able to come back from falling back.
Not after bogeying five of the first six.
You just think he's mentally shot.
Correct. It was a great story.
Yeah. Some people are also saying they're still talking about Rory's struggles, and they're trying to tie it back to the wife. Rory actually had an interesting comment where he said he feels like he has two different lives, that he has his, which I could totally see. He has his tour life. Mm-hmm. He's out on the tour, and he's like the center of everyone's attention. And then he has his family life, where he's with his wife and his two children, and he can't wait to get back home and be with his family and his kids and everything. But being on tour and all the annoying things that go with being a superstar and the pressure, and then when you're home, you don't really have that pressure, and you can't wait to get back home to that. Not alluding to there being troubles at home. In fact, quite the opposite.
Yeah,
he can't wait to get back home into some normalcy.
Right.
Which I can imagine.
He's playing this week. He's playing the Travelers.
He's got one more before he can go back.
Correct.
Which kind of alludes to that comment.
And then he'll just take the next month off before the Open.
Right. He had that comment of, I just want, hopefully the round's in under 4 hours. I get out of here. He is mentally sort of over golf right now and being in the United States. There's no doubt about that. But it shows you how good he is. Didn't even care about making the cut. according to him, he did not care. Didn't even know if he wanted to play two more days, and he birdied the last hole anyway.
Yeah. Cost who wants to play in that mess for two more days?
Cost me $20.
Yeah. I definitely would not want to play. I mean, hell, Valdez invited me a couple weeks ago out to play Trump. I know he's playing with Marr today. I don't have any. I played Trump, you know, 20 times back in the, it was Lowe's Island and all that. Yeah. I don't like playing courses. It's a great course. I don't like playing courses where you just get kicked in the face and you just
Trump's a great spot.
Yeah.
It's where I played with TJ Oshie.
You know, now, when you play for the white tees on a normal time, it's fine. But, you know.
You're not looking for too big of a challenge.
I'm not trying to go out there and shoot 180. Yeah. It's not a fun time for me.
You have zero golf confidence.
Correct.
It's startling to me because I feel like you have.
You want to say something nice about me?
Yeah. I feel like you have good self-worth, like at least when you're on air, like you're very confident. And
I have a lot of swagger in
most
places.
Swagger, yeah.
No, I tweeted about this. Golf is the most humbling thing that you can experience in life. It just pulls your pants down at your most cocky moments and exposes you for the fraud that you are. You can have a birdie, you can have a couple hot holes, you think you're great, and next thing you'll do something that Mike Moore would do.
You're just...
you're joning.
Yeah.
Stray.
Yeah,
you're catching
caught a stray there, buddy. Sorry.
It happens.
Golf just pants,
how hard
constantly
the game
pants you. You know, you think your money, you hit a... Let's say you hit, like, I'm 55 years old. Let's say I hit a 295-yard drive, and I got 80 yards in, and all of a sudden you lay the sod over it, and the ball goes about 2 feet. And then you pull your pants down, and you feel like you got 1 inch there. It just pants you all the time. Golf just constantly pulls you down and shows you for the fraud.
Come on,
you're supposed
to pep talk Mike Marr today.
I'm sure Marr wants to hear this.
That's just my opinion on golf. I don't have any golf swagger. I can hit wonderful shots. I'm also capable of repeatedly hitting the worst shots possible. I have no golf confidence. Zero.
I'm going to pants that championship course.
Yeah, sure you are.
Good luck.
You got to take a few shots of Marr today. I need to see him pantsing this course.
I have more confidence in probably anything. Playing tennis left-handed than I do golf overall. And I can have a good round. Golf's freaking a nightmare.
But you're addicted to it.
I love the feeling of hitting a pure iron. It feels literally like sex. When you pure an iron and you hold your follow through, that divot's flying through the air and it lands about 8 feet and it spins back a little bit.
Yep, it's a good feeling.
It is an incredible feeling. Now, when you hit one a little thin or you hit one a little fat or you lay the sod over it, or you know, automatic that focus. Feels like you just want to murder your family. Yeah. I don't know. Sorry about these. I do have swagger.
It's not golf.
I don't have golf swagger.
I know.
Swagger.
It's a weird juxtaposition.
I'm a complicated person.
Yes, many layers.
Golf is hard. Golf is a hard game. Played it for 40 years. And I've played some of my best golf of my life at this age. And I still have zero confidence. I have the confidence of this popcorn kernel.
You might need to hire a mental coach.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Maybe we need to get you, instead of like lessons, we need to get you a mental coach.
Sports psychologist.
More of your brain.
True.
Work on your brain.
My buddy who I played with for 40 years, he says, you're just a head case. He says, you're just a head case. Total head case.
Don't you think a sports psychologist could fix you?
Yeah, but I'm a brokey. You forgot I'm a brokey. I couldn't even afford one right now.
Yeah. Find a nub sports psychologist.
Can we get a pro bono?
Can we get a pro bono? I would love one.
Training to be a sports psychologist.
Bob Rotella's from like Virginia. Besides to sit down with Bob Rotella, the greatest.
Don't know who that is.
Come on, Cakes.
Bob Rotella?
He's the greatest like golf sports psychologist like the history of the game.
Like normal people are supposed to know who that person is. Come on, guy. You're living in a golf bubble now.
All right. I'm sorry. He's a legendary. Rotella. He's probably written 40 books. I mean, he's a legend.
40 books that nobody has read.
The golf community knows. I'm speaking to the golf community right now.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe 100 million people. Maybe not you. Sorry. It's fine. Good luck.
You went too far. You went too deep.
With the Bob Rotella? Lost Jet Bob Rotella?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
One step too far.
These things happen.
Anyway, so JJ Spawn and his wife, they're fine.
I think they're totally fine. It shows you what a class act he is to get up at 3 in the morning. Because I probably would have used the old, I got a freaking final round of U.S. Open.
Yeah.
I would have said that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there wasn't any screaming or yelling or
with him and his wife.
Yeah.
He could have just been
fine.
Given
a- I'll do it. I'll go to the store.
Yeah. Hey, right. you don't think there's any possibility he could have just been giving her the cold shoulder because he was Rick.
Maybe.
That he had we'll to never go. Know.
No way. We'll never know. No, I don't think
we have
so.
No
My
idea.
Understanding is, if you heard people, they say he's like, he literally is the nicest guy on tour. Everybody loves him. Yeah. I doubt that he's a complete monster to his wife.
He doesn't look like that.
Yeah.
There's a reason why the Commanders stay at a hotel the night before a game, home or away.
Get their head straight.
Well, you
don't want any distractions.
Yeah, I don't understand why these guys don't stay in the hotel room. But you hang out with your family all day, go to a different place to sleep.
Is that what you would do? Would you 100% separate? Like if you were, if you had the final round,
$4.3 million on the line. Yeah, sorry, babe.
You know what's funny is he didn't even think like for us. And look, he's not rich. Like he's got $100 million. I bet you he didn't even think about that money. He's not even thinking about
the Wanamaker, whatever it's called.
Yeah, he's thinking about that trophy.
That's the PGA trophy. Even I know that, Trab. Come on. All right, don't forget, coming up later in the show at 9:25, we will be joined by Chelsea Janes from the Washington Post. Talk about the Nats and more with her. That's coming up at 9:25.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So we've been doing the weekend parlay for years now, and it's hit a few times over the years, but it's hard. It's difficult when you're putting together a 6 or 7 leg parlay sometimes for it to hit. It's just difficult.
Right, we're taking long shots, long shots that we think can hit.
Yeah.
You know, and trying to hit 6 of them. I know a guy says you never hit. No, we have to hit it maybe 3, 4, 5 times in all the various incarnations.
Yeah, they're very difficult.
We've hit anytime touchdown parlays. We've hit, you know, just random parlays. We've hit them.
Yeah. But this is a season-long parlay that this guy placed.
So you have to tell me what the deal is.
So this dude named Drew Hirschman is unemployed, lives with his parents. He's a recent college grad. He's a brokey, okay? He's a full-blown brokey.
Mm-hmm.
So he made a $13 bet, a parlay bet, on DraftKings for teams to win titles. It's a 5-legger. Uh-huh. And he's hit the first 3 legs because he bet on the New York Liberty to win the 2024 WNBA title. Hit. He bet on the LA Dodgers to win the 2024 World Series. That horse came through.
Even those are hard to hit, okay? to be honest with you.
And he bet the Eagles to win the 2025 Super Bowl.
All before the seasons all started.
Yes.
Not like mid-season.
No, before the season started, yeah.
Wow. So he hit all 3.
I mean, that's, what are the odds?
So he's got 2 legs left. He's got the Thunder, and he's got the Edmonton Oilers, who are on the cusp of being eliminated. They could be eliminated tonight.
Oh, so hold on, what's the NHL deal?
3-2.
3-2.
Okay, but he's still got a massive, what's the buyout?
I don't know. It's 58K now because
$13.
Last week it was $107,000.
Yeah, but now it's looking bleak. So I get it.
I mean, he's got to take 58K.
Unless he's rich. If he's rich.
Well, I don't know.
He's just a guy.
He's an unemployed
donk living with his parents right now.
Oh, you got to cash out.
You got to take the 58
grand.
You got to cash out.
I mean, I don't know enough about the hockey to how that.
Now there are some people who they're going to go down with
He's going to hit the OKC, I'm convinced.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
They withstood the storm.
I'm sorry. If I can turn $13 into 58K, I'm hitting that cash out button.
I would too, but it's not going to really change anybody's life. 58K ain't changing anybody's life. 300,000, that could change your life.
No, but if he is unemployed and he's living at home, he can go get his own place and go rent something.
You're turning $13 into $50,000.
That's a huge take.
It is, and I would do it.
You can't retire on it, of course, but you can't retire on $270,000 either.
Yeah, but it might be worth the sweat.
Because he's going to be so bitter if Florida wins.
Yeah, Florida beats the Oilers tonight.
And he could have said, I would have $58,000, I could have bought a car or paid off my bills.
I haven't been following the ebb and flow of that series. Has it just been pretty one-off, back and forth? Or
I mean, Florida's kind of established their dominance over the last couple games.
They have.
Yeah. I don't think it's looking great for
For Edmonton.
For Edmonton at this point.
They have the hot goalie, Florida.
Is it Bobrovsky?
Been playing pretty well.
Yeah. You've been watching?
Some. Not a ton.
Three of the five games have gone to overtime. So it's been back and forth.
It's like you when the Commanders get eliminated from the playoffs. You're not that into it.
Yeah, but
same
I watch.
Same with the Caps.
I watch. NFL's bigger than...
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
The Oilers or the Panthers in this series have scored... Let's see. I'm just doing quick math here. 23 goals in five games.
Buddies, I would love for you to find...
I mean, they're just scoring at will.
I need you to find the tape of me telling everybody that the Panthers were just choking dogs and would never win a Stanley Cup.
now they're going to win three.
I did that like 3.5 or 4 years ago. And as soon as I said that, they basically turned into the best team in the league.
Correct.
So my jinx powers, I guess, were reversed.
Well, hold on.
For them.
If they win this one, will that be three or
that would
two?
Be two.
It'll be back-to-backers.
Back-to-backers. Okay. They're basically building a dynasty in Florida.
Unbelievable.
A place they weren't even playing hockey 30 years ago.
But this guy has to take 58,000.
You got
to
take
it. I would take the 58,000.
Yeah.
If you don't take 58 grand off a $13 bet, you're a stupid person.
Or is there anybody here who wouldn't take that?
I would not take it.
Why?
Because.
Like, why wouldn't you take? You're lying. I believe he's lying.
You'd rather have zero? Because good chance you get zero.
I'm counting on the Oilers to win tonight because. The growth of that payout will be
well. How can you
staggering?
How can you hedge it besides a payout? Like, didn't Spader?
You should have hedged it earlier.
He can't hedge it.
There's nothing he can do.
What's he gonna do?
He botched the math on it before the series started when they were offering $107,000.
Right. That's the payout he should have taken.
That's the payout he should have taken. Then, or at least take some of it out.
Then use some of that money.
And use some of that money to hedge with Edmonton and the Thunder.
Yeah, you should have done that.
That's what, all in all, you should have done.
But if Matt loses tonight, I know he's hoping for the. If this was you, you're hoping for Edmonton to win. But if Edmonton loses, and you're thinking to yourself, I could have paid off a bunch of bills,
like
I could have bought a new car,
right?
I could have done this and that. I could college loans for my kids.
Could have saved some money.
So hold on. Help. Yeah. Just talk me through it. My brain's not wrapped around correctly this morning. I'm not all locked in. So if he bets Florida tonight, how much can he bet on Florida to save some dignity and save some cash? I mean, he still can.
Where is he going to get the money? He bet $13. Is he going to be able to get 25 grand out?
Can he bet like... can he bet...
Here's some details.
Can he bet like 10 grand or something on Florida to still get something out of it?
Well, what's he going to, I mean, where is he going to get 10 grand?
No. I have details here.
He said he put $13 on it. He's unemployed.
He said he hedged $50,000 at Caesars Sportsbook with the help of his father.
Okay.
But
so
didn't
he did
provide
do
details.
So he did do something.
So he's rejected cash out offers of more than $100,000 from DraftKings.
Right, so he's already hedged it somehow.
Similar offers.
All right. So he's locked in.
Yeah, he's locked in. There you go.
He's locked in. You have to. You have to protect yourself at some point, especially if he's a busto. You borrow from your dad or you borrow from somebody and say, you know, I need some money. He actually went 50.
Hey, he has plans for what to do with the money if he wins it. Going to max out the 401k, max out the Roth, add to the emergency fund. Going to have a little fun, maybe a little vacation.
That's boring.
Bring the boys out to dinner. Bring my family out to dinner.
That's boring.
I actually plan...
That big dude.
He has a little Jason in him, though. I actually planned a little Vegas trip, but not going to get too crazy.
Right.
I also think property is a cool way to do it. So yeah. He's got plans for the money. He's got plans for a lot of plans.
Yeah. I've been doing it for 30 years. We all have been just dumping money in your stupid 401k. Whatever. It's so boring. You get to enjoy it. You will later.
You're gonna need it. Yeah.
I know, but it's boring. I don't enjoy it.
Well,
you don't enjoy it now.
I know.
That's why you put it away.
You can die before it. You know?
Well, of course.
Well, then your family's going to enjoy it.
Well, I won't care. I literally won't care. Dead.
I mean, if there's an afterlife, you'll care. You'll be like, oh, my family's taken care of. I was silly. I hooked them up.
I told you my mom ruined that whole fantasy of being in an afterlife, which she 100% believes. But her theory is...
Oh, I'd love to hear this theory.
Her theory is that if you're in heaven, you're...
you're not troubled by our troubles. You're not stressed out. So you're just in heaven.
Right.
So you're not like overseeing your...
So you're not worried about the world, the earth.
Because that's just stress. You wouldn't let that stress bother you because you're in heaven. So everyone always says, oh, they're looking over you. My mother doesn't believe in that. They believe they're just in heaven.
But isn't your heaven
like
making...
You're still fighting your fight.
But isn't that making sure that your family is still cool down on earth? That you're separated from them? Or you just don't care about them anymore?
No, it's not that you don't care. It's just that you're not concerned with it. That's,
you're just enjoying silly heaven.
And you're enjoying silly heaven. Okay. You're not going through the stressors that your loved ones
so
are going through.
So all the parlays hit in heaven. All
hit, right.
In heaven, yeah, but you're not stressed. In other words, it crushes the notion of, oh, my dad's looking over me.
Right.
She crushed that notion for me. Mm. She said, she doesn't think so. She said, he's just enjoying life.
He's not concerned with you.
Not concerned
at this
with
point.
Your trials and tribulations.
He's in silly heaven.
Because then that would not be heaven. Stressing about you on earth is not heaven.
Okay. Mom's theory. That doesn't mean it's necessarily right.
Correct. Right. But there's some logic to it.
Also could be logic that there's no heaven.
It's just, there's.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. I mean,
when you're dead, you're dead.
That's very
not looking down on
it's
anything.
A very bleak, bleak way
very
of looking at life. But yeah,
I think it could be very realistic.
It's possible.
I mean, it's possible. It could be possible.
I mean, I hope that my mother's looking down on us.
Well, my mother doesn't think she is. My mother thinks your mother is silly.
Right.
And she's dancing with the angels and she's whatever.
And she's listening to this music.
Listening to the masters music. Right. She's just holing out. She's like Kim Jong-un with like 600 hole-in-ones.
Hey, just think, when you get to heaven, there's no laying the sod over the ball.
Yeah. Just you get, everyone
crisp,
hits pure. You hit every shot
clean.
Pure. Yeah. Heaven silly. Holing out from all over the place.
I'd get so sick of this song if it was on a loop in heaven.
You would?
It would be hell for you.
It would be cool for about 11 minutes.
Hey, how about this one bettor who put $20 on the Rockies to win the World Series?
Well, just punted away $20 to the sports book.
Yeah.
Well, he bet that this year.
His payout's $100,000. I mean,
it should be $100 million.
His payout is $0,000.
Right, exactly.
Dude, how come I was live betting? Well, you know what? I'm going to ask you off air.
Okay. Why? Right. Why don't you want to ask on air?
Because I'm just going to ask you off air.
Personal question.
Let's
keep it private.
Okay. I'm having difficulty locking in some of my live bets.
Okay.
All right. We'll do EB's entertainment page next, and Chelsea Janes is going to join the Junks coming up at 9:25.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.